Thank you, everybody. So I'm from William Sansom Diabetes Center, located in sunny Southern California in Santa Barbara. And today we'll be discussing about a peer-led education program for really geared towards interconception women who have had gestational diabetes in a subsequent pregnancy. And I have nothing to disclose, and this was funded largely in part by a community grant from the California chapter of March of Dimes. And all photos I use have written permission to use as well. So today, learning objectives are to name the risk factors for gestational diabetes, seeing the significance of interconception care, and seeing the benefits of a diabetes prevention program. So a little bit of background. Gestational diabetes is classically seen as elevated blood sugar levels during and because of pregnancy. So this is diagnosed in the second trimester. We are seeing an increased number of women who are being miscategorized, who had pre-existing type 2 diabetes and are being thrown in the gestational diabetes category, and it's really hard to filter those women out. And so we're seeing more of that. The complications that can arise from gestational diabetes, if you have pre-existing diabetes, we're going to see elevated blood sugar levels in that first trimester, which is so critical for fetal development, so you can get a lot of malformations happening there or miscarriages. For true gestational diabetes, if it's uncontrolled blood sugar levels at that point, we're going to see a baby that's going to really have a lot of adipose fat growth and visceral fat as well in the baby, so they end up having a lot of that central fat when they come out of the womb if it's uncontrolled. And also we can see decreased child size as well due to problems with nutrients passing the placenta. So in short, we're going to see either big or small babies. And we'll see during the birthing process too, because of this large for gestational age baby, there'll be complications. So either during the birthing process, or there'll be an earlier induction to prevent those complications, or at a higher rate of induced, or higher rates of C-sections as well. In terms of who is at risk for this, we're going to see women who are already obese or overweight prior to their pregnancy. We're going to also see women who have a history of gestational diabetes in previous pregnancies, family history of diabetes, and also we're seeing women who are Black, African American, Asian, Pacific Islander, Native American, and Latinas as well. And Santa Barbara has a lot of underserved Latino women within our community, which we were seeing a lot of women with gestational diabetes coming into our county clinics. And so our aim was to assess whether we could create a program that is peer-led, that can increase these women's knowledge, improve their behavior, or change their behavior, and also improve their health outcomes. So we had trained peer health educators that we used from our community. So these are women who are very dedicated to improving community health that we had go through a training process. And they're trained on all levels of diabetes. So a lot of them themselves had gestational diabetes in a previous pregnancy. And they really worked tirelessly to improve the health of the women. They receive ongoing education, one-on-one coaching, and attend conferences too in California. We use scripted curriculums in order to make sure we have a consistent message amongst the promotoras, which is what they're called in Spanish. And they really try to stay with the same verbiage, but they also are able to interpret in their own words. And each participant has their own workbook, and we call it a life plan, because we consider this a journey when they're expanding their knowledge of all of this, of diabetes and nutrition. So in order to evaluate that this was effective, and this is truly a pilot study, this is we collected data at baseline, so during the time of the first of the program when the women would enter the class, during that period we'd take their measurements at 3, 6, and then 9 months post-program. And we measured their knowledge and behavior change by post-class questionnaires and follow-up interviews. The clinical indicators we were measuring were hemoglobin A1C, which is an estimated average blood sugar level. We looked at their BMI, waist circumference, and blood pressure. We're really fond of the waist circumference because it's something that the women can measure at home, and versus maybe not having a scale and not understanding what the weight means. So it's something that's very tangible for them to understand. Over 2 years, we had 96 women attend one or more classes, and with 84% attending four of the seven classes, which we considered to be completing our program. Of those women, all the classes were 100% led by promotoras, and all this was led in Spanish as well. 73% of the women had demonstrated increase of knowledge, again, through those post-class evaluations, and reported a significant behavior change through follow-up interviews. From that cohort of women, we pulled out the true interconception women. So these are women who had a birth year of 1970 or later, had at least experienced one pregnancy, and had attended four of our seven classes. They had a mean age of 33.7 years old. All were Latina, primary language, Spanish speaking, with 2.5 pregnancies and about 2 births. And mean class of the taken was 5.5. And we, since this is a true pilot study, and we had such a low number of participants, we did not find a statistical significance yet with this data. We used a p-value of 0.05, but we did see a downward trend. And other studies have shown that women without any sort of health intervention who have had gestational diabetes, Hispanic women, they see an increase of weight gain and increase of type 2 diabetes developing. Upwards of 60 to 80% of women with gestational diabetes will develop type 2 diabetes at some point in their lifetime. Interestingly enough, though, when we included all of the data from women of all ages, including our promotoras, who many of which fell out of those childbearing years, we did see a statistically significant decrease in waist circumference from between their baseline exam and 9-month exam. And we are very proud of that because this shows that our promotoras are walking the walk and talking the talk. So they're leading by example. So our aim was really to create this culturally, linguistically appropriate program for the women in our community that also was led by peer educators to really expand their knowledge, change behavior, and improve their health. Our biggest strengths have been creating a robust toolkit that is very portable so that our promotoras can go out into the community and teach in any settings. We've had some teach in their homes before to 2 to 3 participants. And it's volunteer-based for the promotoras as well, so we've really retained the women who are involved in teaching, which is something we're also very proud of. We've seen other communities struggle with keeping their promotoras engaged in there, and we have a consistent number that are coming back to us and helping to teach the community. The program is replicable and easy to modify for replication in other communities, and we're hoping to see that it can be adapted for different parts of our county. Our limitations is really that this is a true pilot study, so we're constantly changing little pieces here and there to make sure that there's ease of understanding for our community members and what works best for our promotoras, and we really value their feedback. They do let us know when they think that something can be changed, and we'll talk about it, and we'll be like, you're right, or, well, let's keep it this other way. We were limited with our sample size just due to the nature of our city of Santa Barbara, and transportation is a huge barrier for our women to come for the education classes. Santa Barbara is not known for good public transportation. And also the challenges of working with postpartum women. We know that they have low attendance to follow-up exams, and we saw no difference in that with the women that we invited to participate in our program, and also for the women coming to their follow-up health exams. We really like to see, since this was a pilot with no control study group, we really want to do a prospective controlled study in the future and also include an exercise component. Since this was a just education-based intervention, we want to see what it can be done with exercise in the community and expanding the program and engaging more community partners, which we've had great success the last few months in engaging the city of Santa Barbara in diabetes prevention. And thank you very much. My contact information is here, as well as Dr. Castorino, who is our medical director for this program.